Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast, which will be all about tips on how to grow your charity. There are so many ways to go about it, starting from your vision and goal, building a strategy, and defining how you're going to reach your destination. There are so many choices and so many routes to success. The need to grow can feel a bit daunting, perhaps even scary, particularly in such a crowded field, with some charities joining forces and merging to deliver the mission, and others taking the next step from community interest company status to charities. Obviously, all organizations need to create their own path to success, get inspiration from others, which means picking the best options that support growth in the right way. Today's conversation, I will be joined by my three esteemed colleagues, Laura Stanley, content writer, Nick Wyatt, growth marketing executive, and Ewan Mark Jones, our content editor. We'll share some tips and guidance on what we think are the best roads to success. Hello and welcome, everyone.
Hiya.
Hello.
How are you?
Really good.
Good. Well, great. Let's dive straight in. People listening to us want to grow the charity. Where should they start?
To start, you want to think about mission. So think about how, I think a lot of charities have this, it's your base point, it's where you're starting everything. So with almost over 170,000 charities in the UK, your mission needs to be clear cut. It needs to be inspiring without being obviously inspiring. I think, like, as a mission statement, people are like, we're going to inspire you, and it sort of veers into sentimentality a little bit. So I think it's all about just creating a really clear, really concise explanation in one or two sentences. And I think that's actually the first place that you should start if you're trying to grow your charity, whether from scratch or you're growing because you're struggling to grow at the minute, is go back to basics, go back to the first thing that you need to get, and that is a clear statement. One thing you can do is you can actually hire a copy editor or a copywriter, like, and they will essentially put together a perfectly crafted couple of sentences, which I think would help in the long run. So get that right, and then the rest will sort of veer from that. And so I think you go on to planning for success. So then you take that statement and you think about, all right, we want to grow. So then you need to start thinking about how that's going to look and what that's going to look like. And that does mean strategy. We talk about strategy a lot, but it doesn't mean a defined thing. It just means, even in a room talking about it and making some notes about where you look and your deadlines and your targets and stuff like that, and just having those pretty verified from within the team, so you will have a notion of your trajectory and where you're going. That's the best place to start, just getting it all down on paper, really.
Having your vision written down. Laura, do you want to add something to that great definition?
I think it's part of the strategy, but I think charities should focus on finding their niche and things like that. So find where their voice matters more than anything. Because I think I'm thinking of it in terms of like hashtags on Instagram, right? And how if you put in the generic ones, it's oversaturated. Everyone's there. You can't see the wood for the trees. But if you find something there that only you are talking about, that, but it's not only you, because otherwise you're just shouting into the void anyway. But if you find your niche that people will see, you'll be more visible there. And you need to think about what makes you stand out. I think that would be my advice.
Your advice.
And I think, to jump in, guys. I think the other key thing with growth is that you have to define what growth means to your charity. Because it means very different things to lots of different types of people. And I guess you could also, speaking to lots of people, it means very different things to how they operate as well. So I think that's part of your strategy, as well as defining what you want to grow. It could be you want to increase your fundraising. It could be you just want to increase the size of your organization. It could be how many people you're going to deliver services to. It could be all of those things. But that has to be a clear part of the strategy, is that you need to know exactly how you're going to do that and what elements of the organization you need to grow to increase those aspects of your organization as well. Because if you don't know which ones you have to move forward, you're never going to really be able to grow as an organization, I think. I also think, you know, on top of having just an effective strategy on growth, you need to have a growth marketing plan as well, because I think that we'll get more into that later, but I think that's an effective part. What you need to do is need to work out exactly how you're going to market different aspects of your company to grow, rather than just to reach sort of standard classic marketing KPIs and such. So
I think you mentioned in the intro growing in the right way, and I think that's a really important element of this. Is, like Nick said, you need to see where you want to grow, but also look at your users, where what would be most beneficial to them. But then I also think it's about growing in a sense of if you have a strategy, you need to account for growth, not simply, you know, this is a mistake that a lot of people make, I think, is they have a strategy from day one, and then they're talking about where they're going to be in 2 years. You need to account for the growth within your strategy. So, for example, if you have a 10% increase on fundraising income, then how is that going to further increase growth in other ways, in other forms? So that kind of moves on to finances, which are an essential part. There can be a quite a dull aspect of this, but they are essential because you need to account for everything in expenditure. Growth is a financial thing at heart. I don't think you can talk about service users and providing more services. You can talk about hiring, you can talk about all the things Nick mentioned. None of that's really possible without a financial bottom line, I think.
Yeah.
So growing in the right way, define it, understand what your users want, get all that down, and then have a growth strategy that accounts for growth within the strategy, I'd say, is that's your starting point. Then we can move on to what you might actually do.
Yeah.
But I think the mistake is to jump into what you actually want to do, you know, sort of gung-ho without making these considerations and considering the finances, for example.
Strategies within strategies, you're trying to say.
Well, I mean, you would have a social media strategy within your growth strategy, you'd have a marketing strategy within your growth strategy, and so on, fundraising strategies.
It's a pyramid. So start with the mission and the vision at the top.
Yeah.
And then the goals and the strategy in the middle, and then the tactics and activities are all the stuff that, like, the bottom bit. So that feeds into the top bit.
Into the vision.
It's a pyramid.
Yes.
Big pyramid of charity growth.
Yeah. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, isn't it? But yes. With strategy.
But yeah, no, thank you. That's quite helpful. And also I'm guessing setting priorities. Obviously you cannot achieve everything in year one. So having the sort of year three or year five plan will also help you. And I'm obviously aware that loads of charities have received funds from foundations and funders, and they need that impact reporting. So it's very important, like you were saying, Johan, about the finance aspect of things, to really be conscious of, you know, what you're going to achieve in year one. If you, you know, if you're lucky enough to have increased resources or more fundraising activities, what can that help you achieve in terms of your mission? Because ultimately it's all about your cause and the mission, and everything needs to help you achieve your vision. And obviously we mentioned the finances, and then fundraising in general. It's obviously essential. So do you have any tips on what charities should be doing in that aspect, and others as well?
Just to touch on the finances, I think there are basic steps to take. And I think any charity, if you're a one-person charity, you can do this. That's thinking about income, what you get for income, and then determining expenditure. I would say just those two things, what's coming in and what's going out. If you do those two, you've got it. Then think about fixed costs, the things that are going to happen consistently. So you're talking about rent, utilities, salaries, things like that, which are always going to remain more or less fixed, although of course they can change slightly. And then variable costs, stuff like usage-based utilities and shipping costs and sales commissions and so on and so forth, and make an estimate on what that might be. And then other expenditure, so you have one-off spends, you might have hardware that's a bit out of date and you know you're gonna have to top that up. You might have some other expenditure that, like an event or a fundraising, that you know it's going to cost you. So just get a really broad picture, and it doesn't have to be an exact science. Get a broad picture and it will tell you a story about your charity and how it's performing. And I think then try to have some predictive analysis, predictive finances, where you can kind of look forward and say, okay, if we grow in this way, we can readjust our expenditure in this way, and so on and so forth. And I think the reason that's so important is for sustainability. You don't want to grow and then not know what you're going to do with that growth.
Yeah.
You want to grow so that you can continue to grow in a sustainable fashion. Sorry.
And who do you think should be involved in all of that?
I mean, you definitely don't need a finance team. You could do it. Anyone here could do it. Finance is one of these things, like economics or mechanics or anything like that, where they actually make it seem a lot more complicated with over-the-top jargon and stuff like that. When actually, if you're talking about it, you're talking about what's coming in, what's coming out. It's personal finances on a bigger level. And you can make all these different justifications. But as a small charity, if you just do that and then account for growth in a predictive sense, you'll basically have a finance department. That's what a finance department does in a far more complex way. So yeah, I think everyone should be involved in the financial sides of things, but with growth strategies, everyone, these should be tied together, like we said, with strategies within strategies. Finance should be a part of that.
Yeah.
And deadlines, you should have targets and everything like that. And finance has to play a role, because again, growth does come down to finances.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, it's the cold way of looking at things, but it's essential.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Nick, do you have other comments to do about when you raise funds, what charities should be looking at?
I mean, I guess you have to start talking about growth marketing, because without marketing, you're probably not going to get the funds that you need in terms of fundraising. But I think growth marketing also applies to basically every other aspects of growing an organization, because you need to get word out there. But I think with growth marketing, the key thing is that you need to review all of your channels essentially to see what will aid your growth goal, rather than just sort of your standard marketing KPIs and such, because it's about, at the end of the day, growth is about, you know, increasing the size of your organization or just branching out in various ways, and you need to get funding for that, but obviously you need to connect with your users and such as well to be able to get that message across. As I was saying earlier, I think that's about taking a step back and really reviewing all of your marketing channels and seeing which one of those is going to help you achieve those goals. And it could be a case of that you just need to revamp everything that you're doing to align with your strategies, so that you can push all of that sort of message and mission forward as best as possible. And I think it's changing that mindset on what you're using marketing for is a key part of growth. Mm. It's not just about, you know, we've mentioned how important it is raising funds and such, but you need to remind yourself what you're using those funds for. If it's for growth, then you need to start marketing yourself in a slightly different way than you were before, because then, you know, it's not, as I mentioned, it's about different key performance indicators of growth, rather than just trying to raise funds, because you know what you're trying to push is. So you need to start thinking about that in a particular way. I mean, I could go into all the different ones before, but I think I'll let someone talk for a minute.
And yeah, what about you, Laura? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think that both of my colleagues have made great points. I think, yeah, so it's having real-time visibility of everything. Mm. And I think that's Johan's point earlier, and Nick's point just now, actually, about the strategies within strategies. It makes you more adaptable if you can monitor what's happening, and spotting trends a lot easier. And there's all sorts of different places you can get your benchmarks from. It doesn't have to be internal all the time. There's plenty of ways to get them, like to look at other charities and see what they're doing. And I think, yeah, that just make sure that you're monitoring all the way through what you're like. Mm. I think the worst thing to do would be like, well, I don't know where I started. Mm. And because then you can't really say you've grown. And that's the whole point. I also think we need charities should look at partnerships and stuff like that, because I don't know, it's something that they're doing better in the sector than they have done before. There's 2/3 of small charities partnered with other charities in 2020, and it was less than half in 2017, so that's very good. But I think there's a lot of different ways to partner with them. It could be partnering other charities on campaigns, just tagging people you mention in your content. That's a nice way, like maybe they'll retweet it and then you can
So you get more viral. Yeah,
exactly. Just be like, there's influencers, micro influencers, which I think you need to be clear about your budget if you're going to go down that route, like, because especially if you don't have one.
And the cause as well.
Yes, exactly.
I've got a growth hacker marketing.
Oh, go on.
More than that, but essentially with growth, sometimes it's something that I think a lot of organizations struggle to do, is that to grow, you have to look behind you at your organization and sort of weigh up your strengths. Yes. And change your organization internally before you can grow, so that you can actually expand in the ways that you are good at, rather than sort of carrying around dead weight, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So is it something that a lot of companies do a lot of the time? I know that the sort of poster chart that was Instagram, they used this technique because they essentially changed their entire platform towards what was working, what wasn't working, and because of that now they're one of the biggest social media platforms in the world. And I think there's something that can be applied to all organizations, is that sometimes we do things that we think are really useful and we like doing, but actually they're not supporting the organization. And sometimes you need to cut things off and focus on your strengths to become a larger organization.
I think it goes back to the playing up to your strengths, but that you can apply that in real ways. I think one mistake is, again, charities sometimes make, is that they do what they think other people are doing. This is particularly true in marketing, I think, is they kind of go, well, we should be on this platform, we should be marketing with email. And actually, you could do all of those things, but it doesn't mean you should. you should do what you're good at. So for example, I think Nick's point is if you have people and you're a small charity, you have someone who's a master photographer, for example, you should use that and actually tailor your content, tailor your marketing to make the most of that. Similarly with video, if you have someone who is brilliant at podcasts, you should host a podcast, but don't just host a podcast because other people are hosting a podcast. Because if you've ever been on the podcast app, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of podcasts of people who don't really know what podcasts are and don't have any equipment and just sort of go with it. But this is kind of the point. Play to your strengths, find your strengths, and just literally tailor your strategy towards them. Don't be afraid to do that and think that you should be following other popular trends because it's just not true.
Marketing should never be a tick list of things to do. It should be assessing each thing and then choosing the ones that are going to be the most successful.
For you.
And that's true as well. Another point would be don't do everything. If we were to go through ways you could grow your charity, we could talk at length about, particularly marketing. You're better off listening to last week's podcast, which was on marketing. I think you could have a tick list. And if you do all of those, then you're essentially selling yourself quite short because you're going to do average at all those things. And then you're not going to master anything. And that will not lead to growth. You need to, if you master one platform on social media, that's far more effective than doing well on five platforms. So just always think about playing to your strengths and also don't feel in any way obliged to do everything.
Other charities are not you, so you're going to know better what you need to do to grow, I think. So I literally wrote down be strategic and be specific as my
two S's. Like a smart goal.
Exactly.
Love smart. No, but that's good. Thanks guys. And also obviously that leads me nicely to the third question. So let's say charities have got the right strategies within strategies and they see that they're growing, they're raising more funds and they manage to help more beneficiaries. How can they manage that and make sure that they're, I guess, sustainable?
I think that goes back to that initial strategy putting in place. That has to be a long-term strategy. It cannot be short-term, because if you're not ready for different sort of points along the growth scale, then you're not going to be ready for things like recruitment, upscaling offices, things like that. I know that's not as
investing in infrastructure. You know, moving to the cloud, or if you have a charity shop, what are you going to do to make it even more, even better? The tools, the CRM, etc. So that requires lots of investment as well.
You need to be ready for the scaling of the organization, essentially.
My friend did this activity in at her place of work, and look at what will life be like in 5 years, and then look at what life might be like in 10 years. And yes, it's a little bit of a guesswork, I guess, but then it can be specific to your organization. Or I think it's a nice way of thinking of all the different possibilities.
You look at the best case scenario and the worst case scenario.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be hiring 20 people because you think in a year's time you're gonna be pulling in everything you want, and then find you have to let go of all those people because you've not reached those. It's scaling with what's actually happening, but making sure you have a plan in place for every case scenario.
It's sort of risk planning, isn't it?
Yes, it's all about risk.
I think it's also really important because fundraising, unlike small businesses, for example, I think small businesses, when they start selling a product, for example, that is a relatively sustainable form of income in the sense that they're selling a certain amount per year and they can justify it goes up and down and they can adjust accordingly. I think with fundraising, it's actually quite sort of fluctuating. So you can have a very successful fundraising campaign and if you react and sort of go, oh wow, we've suddenly got a bit of money, let's hire, like Nick said, the hire 20 new people because we've had this boom. But that's not going to guarantee that's not repeated donation. Next year you may actually have none of that, despite the fact that you went viral 1 year, for example. Means nothing. So fundraising is actually really difficult. Of course, you actually want to look for the most sustainable forms of fundraising. So if you have fundraising events, that's for a one-off, like looking at one-off donations, but you want to try and turn those into repeat donors, which goes without saying. But growth hopefully will come through various income streams as well. You don't want to rely on just one-off fundraising events, or because you never know that that's risk. So it's again risk mitigation for long-term growth. Mm-hmm. So see how your fundraising is financially, I think, as well. So, you know, where the different income streams, then I would diversify wherever you get a chance. I think that helps some sustainability. So, I mean, we talk about income diversity a bit on a finance pod we did recently. And I think that just simply means on a basic level, if you've got 75% of your income coming through fundraising, you need to start thinking about other ways of generating income. Mm-hmm. So look at merchandise, perhaps look at arts funding and or grant funding and so on and so forth. So diversify, that helps sustainability. And then really try your best to have some sort of accurate predictive analysis of your fundraising income. Mm-hmm. And that could mean look at past events and see how successful they've been and give a broad analysis. That will mean when you do start hiring people and so on and so forth, and you start growing, that you have this, at least you've got a baseline of which you look towards. And the final thing is if you can and you're in a position, is build up some reserves to give you that sustainable buffer. My main point is fundraising is very unpredictable as an income source, so diversify your income if you can, and then have it sustainable in a way that, you know, you can try to make fundraising sustainable as opposed to just, it can be a bit dicey if you're depending solely on one-off events, because if an event goes badly, you cannot predict that.
Yeah, I mean, there's legacy fundraising, which is predictable without being predictable. You can expect some big revenue to come, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years. So that can also, I guess, help you.
It can change
towards planning.
People's financials. If you legacy giving, for example, with people, if people decide not to do it in the end, which they can, or if their financial status declines for one reason or another, then you suddenly have this long term pot of money essentially that you're depending on that can be taken away quite quickly. It is just about really trying to marry up your trying to predict the finances, and it's an impossible art, but it's one that even just a cognizance of will do you wonders in terms of sustainability. Because I think that the most foolish thing that people could do is just to go in and go, oh no, we got this coming in, and make decisions based on that. Think about the long term, like you said, and just like think how you're going to succeed and how you're going to grow.
Back it up with all the data as well. And that will help with, like, if you are applying for grants, which there are loads of grants that be invested in your project of growth. But you need to tell them accurate results, otherwise they're going to think you're lying to them.
It's illegal.
Fraud. But also, if they think there's not a way that you've worked it out very well, it diminishes trust between them, and the results are what they're going to look for. So just think about trust and things like that, I think. Just be clear.
And how you're going to report the impact, because that's what they look at. Exactly. You know, that's what funders look at. So it's really important that you know what you want to achieve thanks to the funding. And make sure you explain that clearly in your bid writing. And I'm pretty sure we got a few articles about
that. We have a webinar on how to secure a funding grant, which is actually really helpful. So I think
definitely get involved.
We've got a few articles as well. But it's quite a simple process if you master it. But again, it just, a lot of these things I think take a little bit of research. Talking of long-term fundraising, for example, one thing you can do is explore donor trends. Yeah. So do some research on donor trends, see what's on the horizon, what's happening right now in terms of how donors are giving. Mm-hmm. And there's loads of places like CAF, MPT has a giving statistics, Black Belt has the Institute Index, we have loads of places that we work with some of these people, and they're all just really interesting explorations of how giving looks, and then you can sort of also base your your own fundraising on these sort of statistics and on this data that you've seen, and that can help you sort of get a more long-term sustainable fundraising landscape or fundraising trajectory.
I think we're seeing a bit more of a transition, and because online donations have risen, like one-off donations have risen a lot, haven't they? And now it's trying to get those people who are donating online, which is happening more and more because cashless society, all that stuff that we always talk about, but it's converting them into repeated donors now. So there's tools on available. There's I think iRaiser has a charity checkout thing which tells you if your checkout isn't giving opportunities
and the best user experience.
Exactly. And then there's other tools that tell you that like, I think there's there was research that said there wasn't an many charities weren't putting a value proposition. That was the word I was looking for, a value proposition for why they should repeat donate. Like, and I think, you know, just I think that's the next step. That's where it's going. I can see it.
You can
feel
see,
it.
See the part. Very dim light.
So definitely. And Nick, is there anything you'd like to add as well on how charities could manage their growth?
I guess the only last thing, I don't think we touched on this, was the idea of, we did talk about hiring and stuff like that, but I think it's in the plan, making sure you define the kind of fit people and roles that you're going to want beforehand. So you don't want to be reactive to hires. You want to be very much, oh, we know who we're going to have to hire in a year's time, in what area of the organization. Because, yeah, you do not want to find that you're just sort of overwhelmed. You're like, oh, we need more fundraisers right now. You want to be prepared for that, so you know how many you're going to have potentially in a year's time. Once again, it goes back to that sort of worst and best case scenario. So it could be you sort of take into account, you might need three, you might need four, you might need none, but you know exactly the roles you're going to be hiring for. You know generally when you're going to be hiring them in time and place, depending on what happens along your growth journey. And then from there, you know, you're never caught out. I mean, there will probably be parts of your growth strategy that are going to change throughout the time you do it. It's such a long-term strategy. It is going to change. But I think it's just constantly reviewing that, making sure you're on top of things at all times. And I guess we haven't really discussed that, really, the idea that the growth strategy has to be reviewed constantly, because it's good, because the long-term strategy is never going to be set in stone. So, yeah, that's another point. Review your long-term strategy.
Regularly.
It's something, weirdly, I think we mention it actually quite a lot, is people forget that things change and you need to change with them. And so you do need to, rewrite your strategy, your growth strategy. It might be that you're rewriting it in a really positive way. And it's like, actually, we've got a lot more money to play with here. We can hire more people. But often it is that you haven't quite met your expectations and you need to revise down, and that's okay. You know, you need to be prepared for that. But because, I mean, planning on growth is what every charity would love to do. I mean, of course, that's ideal. But and the reason every charity does not grow is because everyone faces failures, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the successful charities are going to be the ones who learn from those failures, revise, and also take new routes. You might think something is, and to be honest, all the data might suggest, you might have done your research and donor trends are suggesting this is up, and your users want this, and you have capacity and resources for this. So it's just an obvious thing to do. Everything, all the evidence suggests you should take this route, and this is the right way to grow. You take that route and it completely tanks. Then that's okay, because that happens. There's nothing set in stone. There's no sure wins, and the only one way to success is revising and going, okay, we need to rethink this. And sometimes it will be the thing that's most illogical is something that for some reason works for your charity, you'll find out maybe in a few years' time why that worked. But you're not going to find out overnight, and you just need to roll with the punches sometimes.
Organizational growth and growth marketing is a game of trial and error.
I think it all is.
Yeah.
I mean, marketing, we spoke about this last week or 2 weeks ago. It's the same. It was so much of it is, you might think you obviously should be using this one social media platform, you use it all the time. And then you go on TikTok, you write a silly video, and everyone goes, oh, this is great. And you're like, oh, we're a TikTok charity. But that's okay too. You just need to, if you're not trialing these things, you're never going to see the success in them. But the more important thing is, if you're trialing them, notice when you're going wrong. If the data tells you it's not working, even if you really like what you're doing, even if you think this is a good idea, even if the person at the top of the charity, however that looks, is going, no, we have to do this, you don't, and it's wrong, and you need to revise. Don't have data bias as well, whereas a lot of people look at data and it tells them the story they want to hear rather than the story that they should. The actual story, the unbiased, completely objective truth, which is what you want to look at for data.
It's always good to have a third pair of eyes on that. So that you have, because everyone's going to be biased whether they like it or not.
Yeah, of course.
Negative or positive bias. So I think, it's always good to get an outsource to have a quick look at your data.
Yeah, and that's a way you could work with another charity. You could, and also work with your local community. CSR, we haven't talked much about that. But
So there are many ways to find
you know, to find support. You can also look at pro bono support, whether that's, you know, getting fundraisers as consultant that can come within, you know, to your organization and spend a little bit of time creating a strategy with you, or even strategy consultant. There's a lot of website where you can find all of these great heads and minds for free. There's also, as we said, loads of corporate social responsibility. So Tech for Good, kind of Tech for Good program, where basically if you have a project, you can have a big corporation or company that whose the staff is volunteering for your project. So, and obviously there's Charity Digital and loads of other infrastructure charities that have a lot of resources for you to look into. But yes, I think that's all we've got time for today. Yeah. Thank you very much. The three of you for sharing tips. We hope you enjoyed listening to that podcast and the few occasional banter. We hope that you will join us again soon for our next podcast. See you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.